Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the very top of Daf Nun Hey Omid Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, followed by a mivne, a structural note. So we've written on the side under the nosei, Ha'im nitan lahoitzi kedushas haguf dekotshe mizbeach lechulin al yadei pidyon. Is it possible to remove something that has inherent sanctity, kedushas haguf, as opposed to kedushas domim, which is a term referring to the value of an item as being sanctified. Here we're dealing with something that has inherent sanctity. Can it be removed from its sanctity from the realm of kedushas haguf, from the realm of something sanctified to be offered as a sacrifice, an animal that was designated to be a sacrifice, and through redemption the animal become chulin, mundane, common. In other words, something that you could benefit from. Under the mivne, the structural note, a crown shape appears. Shnei makoros, two sources. Shebemalach ha-gemora, that in the course of the Gemara, nishma shecholkim beinin hoitzas kedushas haguf lechulin. It will appear that they argue, that they disagree with regard to having something that has inherent sanctity becoming mundane. The concept of redemption is very familiar, is very common to us when you're dealing with items that were sanctified with regard to their value. But when it comes to something that has inherent sanctity, that is already something novel, and we have to deal with that in our Gemara. The firebox that you'll see highlights, it says Hadgoshas. Hadgoshas is an emphasis or highlighting Reboshia. Beglal Shagemora Sekis Bidvorov Ad Omid Beis. His point will keep the Gemara occupied till we get Omid Beis. The Gemara will introduce a Tanaic source at the top that deals with an animal that's found outside of Yerushalayim. The Gemara gives a geographical guidelines and says that animals that are found wandering there, one is to assume that they are actually sacrifices that somehow got loose and left Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, one assumes the majority of the animals found therein are sacrifices. And therefore, one has to consider that the animal found in the vicinity of Yerushalayim that's wandering around might very well be a sacrifice. The triangle that you see will represent pitronos, solutions or explanations, labayas abehemo shenim tzeis. The issue of the wandering animal presents a problem to us. How do we deal with it? So when the triangle appears, the shaded in tip triangle, you'll notice we have a number 1 over here on the fifth line from the top, and a second triangle will appear on Omid Bey's second line from the top. In addition, we will encounter questions that are directed at Reb Hoshaya, and that will be introduced with a volcano shape, but that will appear a bit later on the daf. Now the Gemara. Tanan Hosam. We have a Tanaic source from Maseches Shkolim. Behemo Shenimtseis Yerushalayim L'Migdal Eder. An animal found wandering from outside Yerushalayim till a place called Migdal Eder. Uchemidos L'Chol Ruach. You would use that as, we'll say, the radius of a circle, the distance from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder, and then using that as your radius, draw a circle in all direct that would designate an area equal to that in all directions. So that, just for argument's sake, just as an example, not literal, but if the distance from Yerushalayim to Migdal Eder was 5 miles, so we're telling you 5 miles in all directions around Jerusalem, Zechorim, Oilois, Nekeva Zivchei Shlomim. If you find a wandering male animal, of course an animal that's suitable to be brought on the altar, a sheep, a goat, a cow, so males are treated as olos, and olos means burnt offerings, and the kevos zivchei shlomim, and female animals are viewed as shlomim. You don't have to suspect that a female animal is an ola, because an ola comes only from male animals. The Gemara asks, Ela zichorim oilois hu dehavu zivchei shlomim lo havu. According to the source, male animals are assumed to be olos. Could they not be shlomim, the peace offering? That is an animal that can come from both genders. This, of course, in contrast to what we mentioned a moment before about the male animals, that is, olos coming only from the male gender. Shlomim can come from male and female. So if you find a wandering male animal, must you not consider that it is possibly a shlomim? And the question then is, how can the source say that it's an ola, which would lead to me offering it as a korban ola? And offering an animal as a korban ola has its own guidelines. If I do so, I'm then denying the possible shlomim identity. So how can you say that? Omar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya explains, Hocha bevo lochuv bedmei maskinon. And here's a rather obscure expression, bevo lochuv bedmeim. Rashi, though, will explain that. So we look immediately into the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is a line or two up from here. Omar Rav Hoshaya bevo lochuv bedmei maskinon, klomar. Ihi vadai lo korvo. There's no question that the animal that you found wandering will not be put on the mizbech, will not be offered. The hachi ko'omar, and the point of the source is thusly. Im bo odom ze lasis lo takon. If you come along and you want to solve the problem, you want to make good. And you want to accept upon yourself a monetary obligation that would cover all areas of doubt. And the found animal would then be able to leave the suspected sanctified realm and become common, mundane. And the monies that you're setting aside would then be sanctified. Im zohar hu, if the found animal happened to be male, nischayev af b'demei ola. The reference to ola in the Tanaic source meant even ola. The chayshinon shema oilos hein. We suspect that maybe they are olos, namely either they're shlomim, as we said in our question, or maybe they're olos. They could be a male animal, could be an ola, could be a shlomim. So now we go back to the Gemara. We've given you the circumstances, the background behind the source, and we described it as bibo. He's coming along. Someone's coming lachuv b'demam to obligate himself financially, and through that solve all the different suffek problems, the doubts that are present. The Gemara continues, Vahachi ko'omar, and thusly the source was saying, Chayshinon Shema Olos. When saying Zichor Merolos means we're suspecting that maybe they are Olos, the male animals that were found. For Rabbi Meir he, and the source is authored by Rabbi Meir, Tiyomar Hegdish B'mezid Mishalel. This, of course, is the direct tie-in to our previous shiur. Rabbi Meir's opinion that Hegdish, if one knowingly transfers it or uses it for other purposes, for personal benefits, for other purposes, Hegdish, if with the awareness that the item is Hegdish, can depart from the realm of Hegdish, and become mundane. The term Mishalel means become mundane. So Hegdish, when there is awareness of what you're doing, of its, let's say, its Hegdish identity, it could leave the realm of sanctity. And then with that in mind, with that opinion in mind, I'm going to take money, I'm going to set it aside, and I'm going to say that whatever sanctity is on this animal, I am transferring it knowingly. That's bemazed, knowingly, and transferring it onto these monies, and the original found animal will mishala, will become common, will become free for personal use. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a question that lasts a number of lines. It takes in another Tanaic source. Ukdushas haguf mi mishalel, something that has inherent sanctity, like the case of the found animals, where we're suspicious that they have that identity of inherent sanctity. Can inherent sanctity be transferred? Can it be redeemed onto money? V'ha tanan. The following source says, Ein moyol achar moyol b'mukdashim, Ela bevehema ubekli shoriz bilvad. Moel achar moel means once mi'ila took place. Mi'ila is the sin, the name of the sin for deriving personal benefit from something that was sanctified. So once someone derived personal benefit and is guilty of mi'ila, that item cannot be subject again to mi'ila. Once the first mi'ila took place, it goes lechulin, it becomes mundane. The item that was used, the sanctified item that was used, becomes common. So the concept of, let's say, a double ni'ila on a particular item doesn't exist unless you're dealing with an animal, behema, ubikli shoris, or with service vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara continues, Ketzad. Give us an example. A person was riding on an animal, a sanctified animal. A second person came, a third person came, and all rode on this animal that was designated as a sacrifice, as koshe mizbeach, something that's fit to be offered on the mizbeach. Kula mo'alu. Now we've dashed underline kula mo'alu because that's the main point of this source. That in the case of behema, there is moyel achar moyel. First guy was moyel, the second guy, the third guy. And a second example, the aleph, by the way, and beis that are circled correspond to the aleph and beis that were mentioned on the second line of the source. Hoya shoyse b'koshel zahav. Someone was drinking from a silver goblet, a sanctified silver goblet. Bochaver v'shosa. One after the other came and drank from that same vessel. Kulam mo'alu. They're all guilty of mi'ila. What do we see from here? We see that an animal that has inherent kedusha retains its sanctity. It doesn't become chulin. So how can the source at the top suggest this idea of removing the inherent sanctity from the animal? The Gemara answers, we have these two sources. They are really authored by two different opinions. Hahi, Rabbi Yehuda hi. Source number two is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that that Hegdish Bemezid is not Mishalel. If we take a look in the Rashi, a couple lines down from here, Hahi Rabbi Yehuda hi, Mi Diktoni in Moyel Achar Moyel, from the fact that the source says that you don't have mi'ila following a mi'ila, almo mekamahu dinofik l'chulin, from the first misuse of it, it became mundane. V'afagav deshogegu, even though he was unaware of its holy identity. De'i mezid leko mi'ila. And if it were done knowingly, there would be no mi'ila. V'hai svar l'Rabbi Yehuda hu deshamaslei. This approach is something that we've heard in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. De'omar b'masnisin, hegdish b'shogeg mishalo. That hegdish, when misused or used for personal benefit, was done without awareness of it being hegdish, then it leaves the realm of hegdish. So that the possibility of saying ein moyel achamel, meaning once it went into the realm of the mundane, once it was misused, it can't be subject to again being misused. That would be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda that says b'shoygeg mischalel. This is in contrast with source number one at the top, which we say ha Rabbi Meir. That's in accordance with Rabbi Meir, who said that hegdish is mischalel b'mezid. That hegdish, something that's sanctified, when you're aware of its identity and you intentionally change its identity through redemption, and Rashi has even Kedushas Haguf, the same can happen. The Gemara asks, Mide Rebbe Yehuda Nishma Le Rebbe Meir, why not figure or extrapolate to Rebbe Meir from that which we know about Rebbe Yehuda? Lav Omer Rebbe Yehuda Hegdish B'Shoygeg Mishalel U'Kedushas Haguf Lo Mishalel. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda give us a scenario where hegdish, when done b'shogeg, it becomes chulin, and yet kedushas haguf, something that is inherent sanctity, doesn't lose its sanctity? That's what source number two indicated to us. Well, the Rabbi Meir Nami afagav de hegdish b'mezid mischalel. Rabbi Meir has his version of hegdish becoming chulin, that's if it's done b'mezid. Nevertheless, kedushas haguf lo mischala. Shouldn't Rabbi Meir hold that? And if you say kedushas haguf lo mischala, then we would lose our explanation of source number one at the top, that even if you want to ascribe it to Rabbi Meir, but you're dealing with kedushas haguf and it does not become chulin. The Gemara responds, Hosam lo komechavein lafukinu lechulin. Hocha komechavein lafukinu lechulin. We take a look at the Rashi and the wide lines under the Gemara text, almost halfway down. Umishani, Hosam lo mechavein lafukinu lechulin. Klomar, chilu demezid l'Rebbe Meir, the idea of knowingly transferring something sanctified into the realm of chulin that Rabbi Meir addresses, adifa mifilu deshogeg l'Rabbi Yehuda, is stronger than departure from chulin from hektish when done unknowingly according to Rabbi Yehuda. Dehilu shogeg lo mechavil fakinu l'chulin. When a person misuses sanctified items but unaware of their sanctity, he had no intention to have it leave the realm of sanctity to chulin, to the mundane. The Torah deems him guilty or able to remove it from the realm of hektish from the fact that the Torah obligates him to bring the korbimila. Therefore, since he didn't have kavona to remove it from the realm of holy to chulin, if something has inherent sanctity, it won't transfer out. It won't become redeemed. Avochilul mezid l'Rebbe Meir mechavein afukin l'chulin. Where you're redeeming something knowing its hektish identity, then it could leave the realm of chulin. Hilkoch kedushas haguf nami yischala. Therefore, within the mindset of Rabbi Meir, So Kedushas Aguf could also be could be redeemed, we'll say. Mischala means the original animal becomes chulin, and whatever value was set aside in its stead becomes holy. We turn back to the Gemara, and here we mentioned earlier that this symbol, this volcano shape, represents a question on Rav Hoshaya. Amar d'shamis lei l'Rebbe Meir b'kotshe kotshim, that hekdish b'mezid becomes chulin, that you can change something from its hektish status to chulin when you do it knowingly, knowing that it's hektish. Maybe that's limited to kotshe kotshim. Kotshe kotshim, for example, items dedicated to Bedek Habayis. Bedek Habayis means the temple repair fund, where it's entirely legavoa, entirely for, say, heavenly, for godly purposes. But kotshim kalim mishamislei, regarding kotshim kalim, lighter level sanctity, does he say that b'mezid mischalel? Omar le ahum rabbanon for v'yankiv shmei. This is the first, or two names that subscribe to this. So the first is Rav Yankiv, that says kavachomer kotshe kotshim mishalin kotshim kalim lo kol shekein. If you're saying that something that has a high level sanctity can be transferred out of that realm, then certainly something that has a low level sanctity, so that your question is refuted, if you will, by a kavachomer. Itmar Nami, Omar of Chamo Bar Akiva, Omar of Yezi Rachanino, Omer Hoya Rabbi Meir, Hegdish Bemezid Mishalel. Something sanctified when you know its identity as such can be Mishalel, can become Chulin, Beshogeg. Let me read that again more accurately. Omer Hoya Meir, Hegdish Bemezid Mishalel. B'shogeg ein mischalel. The distinction that we've already heard in the past in Rabbi Meir's name, that if you do so knowingly, it loses its holy status. B'shogeg, if you were redeeming it or you were transferring it, spending it, but not aware of its hegdish status, then it won't lose its holy status. And this distinction between mezid and shogeg, echod kotshe kotshim, the echod kotshim kalim. So if you say b'mezid, it's mischalel, that applies to kotshe kotshim and kotshim kalim as well. Kal v'chomer, kal kotshe kotshim mischalem kotshim kalim lo kol shekein. If something that has a high level sanctity can be redeemed, transferred from the realm of sanctity to the common realm, certainly something that has a lower level sanctity. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Immediately we see another volcano shape, and we already mentioned that these are questions directed at Rav Hoshaya. Toi bo Rav Yochanan v'chi omrim lo liodom amod v'chatei b'shvil shetizkeh. Rav Hoshaya offered a solution to the found animal case with which we opened our shiur today. And Rav Hoshaya's suggestion was transferring the Kedusha of something that has inherent high-level Kedusha status and knowingly transfer that Kedusha Zaguf onto money. Is that something that we would really allow? Do we say, V'chi toibo Rav Yochanan v'chi oiru l'adam amod, arise v'chate and sin b'shvil shetizkeh, so as to achieve merit? What's the sin? The sin is taking something that has altar holiness and removing it. Rashi says at the top line, "V'chiyomim lo liodam the chol behemos mizbeach aser lechalalot tamima." All animals that are dedicated to the altar, one is forbidden to redeem it when it's unblemished. Shneimar im bevehemah hatameah for the bechukavim. Amar bebalei mumen shirivzogos mudaber. The pasuk acknowledges redemption of blemished animals. Yochol yuftu al mum oiver. Can redemption take place on a transitory, temporary mum, temporary blemish? And we say no. V'zeh shebo limlach v'lochu b'nameo nomar lo amod v'chatei l'chalo amezid b'shu shetizke l'sakin akravosu shel behem ozu. And in the case that we saw at the top of Omer Aleph, someone is coming to consult. I want to obligate myself monetarily in order to solve the problem with regard to the offering of this animal. Would we tell him, yeah, go ahead, set money aside and redeem it? So we have to go back to the drawing board with regard to the source that was found at the beginning of our shir today. Elo Rav Yochanan, mamtin lo ad shetumam. You don't redeem that found animal immediately. Rather, you wait till it develops a blemish. Tumam is become blemished, and then umaisi shtebeim usumasne. You would then bring two animals. You have that male found animal. You bring two other unblemished animals, and you make a tanai, and you say, regarding animal number one, if the found animal was a zohar, then the kedusha, the found animal is a zohar, and it might have been an ola, so you become an ola, and the other animal would be a shlomim, and if the found animal was a shlomim, so the second animal will be the shlomim, the first animal will be an ola that will be brought as a gift. Rashi, on the third narrow line, Elom Rav Yochanan, Chodik Tonis Chorm Olos, that which it says that the found animals are an Ola, Lohi, Velodomel Craven, Vodotamia, Tamima, the animal itself, nor its money value will be used to purchase an animal to offer, but while the found animal was still unblemished. As we said before, that cannot be redeemed. Elo Mamtin Lo'ad Shetumam, Mum Kavua. You wait until the found animal, the found male animal, develops a permanent blemish. V'imutu l'chalo. And at that point, it'll be mutu to redeem it. U'maisi shtei behemos. And you'll bring then two animals. Chalo li'oilo v'chalo l'shlomim. One will be brought as an ola, the other one as a shlomim. U'masne. And you will make the following stipulation. Im zu ola. If the found animal is an ola, then animal number one that I am bringing shall be it an ola in its stead, bearing in mind that the found animal now has a blemish in it, so I can't offer it in any way. I will offer the replacement animal. The second animal will be a shalmei nedava, will be a shlomim brought as a voluntary offering. The imzu shlomim. And if the found animal was a shlomim, tezu shlomim, then the second animal will be the shlomim, tachtel in its stead, v'chaverta olas nedava, and the first animal that I'm bringing will be a voluntary ola offering, a gift ola, and not the redemption. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar Mar. You'll notice we have a double underline on the side of the Gemara. Under the Mivne, under the structural note, we point out that the double underline highlights Situtim quotes, Meha Moker Bomen Aleph, Behemosh Nimtzeis, quotes from the original source at the top of Omen Aleph, regarding the found animal. The diamond, and there are a lot of diamond markings on this page, highlights the word Dilma, maybe. Halos have shows Nesophos, Lema Yochol, Lios, Oisei, Behemosh Nimtzeis. We're going to raise additional possibilities as to what the found animal, what its identity might have been. Up till now, we discussed the male found animal. We said it could be an ola, maybe it's a shlomim. We'll explore some additional possibilities. The first quote has to do with the zechorim that the source said are going to be olos. The next quote in the middle of the Omid is a reference to the continuation of the source that mentioned the found animals being female. It's treated as then a possible shlomim. But aren't there more possibilities? So the Gemara continues. Omar Zechorim Olos. Dilma Toidahi. Maybe the male animal that was found was a thanks offering, a korban toda. So the Gemara says, well, you really have to consider that. So demaisi nami todi, bring an additional replacement animal. It would seem to me then that you're bringing a third animal to designate it as a toda. And as we said before, that if the found animal was a toda, now it has a blemish, let this third replacement animal be a toda in its stead. Question. Well, if you're going to consider it a toda of all bayal lechem, is there not a necessity of bringing 40 loaves, 40 baked loaves that accompany a korban toda? The Gemara says, no problem. The maisinami lechem, you'll bring the loaves also. Question. Dilma osham hu? Maybe the male found animal was a guilt offering, a korban osham. And Rashi points out, you can't suggest here, well, then bring an osham as well. Because an osham is a type of korban that you can't bring as an edova, as a voluntary offering. Up till now, when we speak about bringing the replacement animals, we said, if the found animal is X, so then the replacement animal will have the identity of X. And if the found animal is not that, so then the replacement animal will be brought as a voluntary offering. That type of stipulation you can't make when you entertain the possibility that you're dealing with an osham, because an osham cannot be presented as being a nedova. So why when we discovered the male animal, why is it that we don't say maybe it was an osham? The Gemara says osham ben shtei shana v'shtacha ben shana, a guilt offering. It must be a 2-year-old animal, and the Torah refers to those, to that, to an osham in, as a, or describes it as an ayal, as a 2-year-old animal. It's often translated as a ram, but it's a 2-year-old animal, and that's what an osham must be. And the found animal in our source, where we're not considering the osham possibilities, because it was a 1-year-old animal. Question: the dilma osham etzorhu, osham nazirhu. Maybe the found animal was designated as an osham to be brought by a mitzora or a nazir who became tome, who defiled his nazirus, has to bring a korban osham, and those are in fact 1-year-old animals. The Gemara says lo shchichi, they're uncommon, and therefore you don't have to entertain as a possible identity of the found animal that which is uncommon. Question: v'dilma pesachu, maybe it's a korban pesach. The Gemara says, Pesach bizmano mizuziri bay, v'shalo bizmano shlomim hu. Pesach bizmano means on the 14th of Nisan, the owners are careful. Mizuziri, they're careful. It wouldn't get lost and wander outside of town. On the rest of the years, an animal that was originally sanctified as a korban pesach actually has a shlomim identity. That on the 14th of Nisan is the day that we offer the Korban Pesach. So it's brought as it was originally designated, Pesach. But if for some reason you have an unused Korban Pesach, during the other days of the year, it's a Shlomim. And we already mentioned that that's one of the possibilities that we're considering when we bring the replacement animal. So that if the found animal was found on some day other than the 14th of Nisan, even if it had originally been designated as a Korban Pesach, it wouldn't be a Korban Pesach, it would be a Shlomim. And we're already considering that amongst the animals that the Baal Ochu B'neim is bringing, is an animal that we would designate as a Shlomim anyway. Question, V'dilma B'chor U'maiser Ninu? Maybe the found animal was a firstborn male animal, and a firstborn male animal is brought as a sacrifice. So maybe the found animal was a bechor. Maybe the found animal was an animal tithe, was meister behema, where 1/10 of any given year's birth of animals must be tithed. Maybe it's that kind of, and those are both sacrifices. So the Gemara answers, l'mai hilchisa l'michlinu b'mumon. When you would consider it being the found animal that was wandering, when you're considering it to be a Bechor or Meiser, what are you, what halachas would apply? What special consideration is there when you deal with a Bechor or Meiser? And the Gemara tells us that the Bechor or Meiser, when they develop a blemish, the owner would slaughter it wherever he is, obviously outside the basin. It's just not, it's not brought as a sacrifice anymore. And you would eat it. L'michlinu is to eat it, b'mumon, in their blemished state. Well, ha'chinami b'mumon mesachli. That's exactly what we are doing over here. We have the found animal. We say we wait till it develops a blemish. You're going to offer replacement animals to deal with the other possible identities that this animal may have had. And as far as the original animal, you're waiting till it develops a mum, a blemish, and you're going to eat it. Well, that's exactly the way we would have dealt with a Bechor or Meiser as well, if that were part, assuming that that's one of the doubts. Omar Mar, Nekevo Zivchei Shlomim, he said if the found animal was a female animal, you would treat it as a Shlomim. Dilma Todahi, maybe it's a thanks offering. The Maisi Todos, you bring another animal and declare it as a possible Toda. I've all been in Lechem, but when you bring a Toda, you have a requirement of bringing 40 loaves. The Maisi Nami Lechem, you bring those additional 40 loaves as well. The Dilma Chatos, maybe the found animal was a sin offering. The Gemara responds, Chatos Bash, also Shach Bash Deishonim. A Chatos, a sin offering, is a 1-year-old animal. The source was talking about a case where the Nekeva, the female was found, was a 2-year-old animal. And as such, it wouldn't be suitable to be a Chatos. Question, the Dilma Chatos Shover Shnosa. Maybe the found animal was originally designated as a chatos, and more than a year has gone by in terms of its age. It's more than a year old. That's called a chatos shover shnosa. And a chatos shover shnosa is deemed an apostle chatos, apostle, an unfit sin offering. So the Gemara says lo shchiach. That's uncommon. So you don't have to consider the uncommon. Question, Ishtakach Bashnosamai, what would be if you found a 1-year-old female animal? And if you had found a 1-year-old within a year, it's within its first year of life, if you found a Bashnosa, it could have been a Chatas. So what am I to do now if I want to cover all possibilities? Tanyo Chananya ben Chachinoy Omer, Eiz Bas Shnosa Lechatos. That source doesn't make too much sense. Lechatos Alkadaitach, a goat that's a 1-year-old animal, 1-year-old, is Lechatos. The Pasuk speaks about that, says Eiz Bas Shnosa Lechatos. So it sounds that if you have a goat that's 1-year-old, you bring it as a chatas. Is that so exclusive? Maybe it's not a chatas. So the chatas salka daitach, and in the context of, let us say, a found goat, do you follow what the source says, that it's going to be a sin offering? Maybe it's something else. Elo Omar Abai, Kechatos. Kainso Lekipo Vimesim Eleo. So Rashi explains, if you found a 1-year-old female animal, Kechatos, Kainso Lekipo Vimesim Eleo, Kedin Chatos, Sheinu Riyo Likrav. You would treat this found animal as in accordance with the rules of a Chatos that's not fit to be offered. Kegon Chomesh Chatos, like is characteristic of the 5 different examples of animals. Had they been chatos, they would not be fit. To azli lemisa, they're set aside to die. And what do we do? So Abai explains Kaisel a kippah v'meis v'leil. A kippah is some type of a small enclosed area, and you would put the animal in that cell, and not feed it, and it would die on its own. So then, as we look over this last section of the Gemara, if you found a female animal, let us say it, if it happened to be a one-year-old animal, so then we would have to consider maybe it was a shlomim, maybe it was a toda. So he'll be setting aside two animals to cover those possibilities. And what about maybe it having been a korban chatos? So with regard to that, we will tell you that the animal that you found will be left till it develops a mum, assuming that on the assumption or in the possibility that it was a chatos, that animal will be put into the kippah and allowed to die on its own. So with that, I've covered, by setting aside two other animals and the original animal, found animal, putting into the kippah, I will have covered all the possibilities. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.